Enoch took a stroll one day with the master, just him and the Lord alone. He got so close to the portals of heaven that God just led him on home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggle over mountains, walk through some valleys. I thought I would never see dawn, but the one who said, I'll never forsake you, is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggle over mountains, walk through some valleys. I thought I would never see dawn, but the one who said, I'll never forsake you, is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. Mansions will glisten on the hill of glory. Happy reunion on streets of gold. Angels choir singing glad praises forever, but Jesus will outshine them all. Oh, what glory awaits me in heaven's bright city, when I get there such sights I'll behold. A million scenes of rare beauty will be there, I'll view them. Still Jesus will outshine them all. Mansions will glisten on the hills of glory. Happy reunion on streets of gold. Angels choir sing glad praises forever, but Jesus will outshine them all. The sparkling river is flowing, happy faces are glowing, lanes of splendor will not never fall. The golden glass gives reflection to the city's perfection, till Jesus will outshine them all. Mansions will glisten on the hills of glory. Happy reunion on streets of gold. Angels choir singing glad praises forever, but Jesus will outshine them all. Mansions will glisten on the hills of glory. Happy reunion on streets of gold. Angels choir singing glad praises forever, but Jesus will outshine them all. Tis a sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, does it the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him over and over. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me near to healing, cleansing blood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him over and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him over and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him over and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Well, we'll just continue with that rapture subject. It's like we say, we're in the season of the rapture. This is that according to the scriptures. We got to trust. We got to not only trust Jesus, we got to trust the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And that's more important than trusting Jesus, is trusting the Word, because Jesus said, my Word, I'm not going to judge you. The words that I speak are going to judge you. And over in Solomon says, God has put his word above his very name. So the word of God has to find say so. Mm-hmm. And all we got to do is trust that word. And somehow it'll get us through. We're in the same subject, but it's basically the same. The same thing here. It's Luke 12, 35. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burn. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, he shall gird himself up and make them to sit down meet and will come forth and serve them. That's what we have to be now. Like from here till that time comes, we're in the season of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been saying it'll come whenever, but you know, God holds the key. It's we're in the season of that mm-hmm. time. I can feel it. We've had dreams about it, and we've had the scriptures to prove it, and. Like we go back to the time we're living in, we go back to those seven stars, and there that stream began to flow throughout the grace age. Those seven angels in Revelation chapter 1 that John mm-hmm. saw, that he, you know, saw Jesus holding him in his right hand, and we follow right through with that, right up to Laodicea. And here we are, and Brother Branham and Brother Jackson, and here we are, the last chapter of the ministry of those seven stars. And here we're coming right to the end, and mm-hmm. we're one of those people that disciples ask, will you at that time once again restore Israel? And he told them, it's not for you to know. And but at the end time, there will be somebody that will know. And then Daniel backs it up. He said, He saw all these phenomenons. He saw this time rapidly approaching, and he saw he was transported into our time, and he wanted to know what's going on, what this is all about, because it was a big mystery to him. And then that angel told him, the wise shall understand. And we're one of those wise people that understand simply because we were willing to be taught, like the Bible says, God has hid these things from the wise and the prudent and has revealed them unto be such as would learn. We taught these things from these seven, one of the seven stars of the angel of Laodicea and these messengers, Brother Branham and Brother Jackson, and Zathavita too. And then here we are to finish it off, and it'll take us right into that rapture. Otherwise, we got nothing to stand on except the Word of God,
mm-hmm.
and that's our only mission that we have left, and gets us pretty excited. That's what we do. That's what we do for a living. Now we're retired from work, and the Lord put us here and put this stick together, because to a lot of people it's foolish, you know, to just sit here and that's all we're consumed about, but because they. The people are natural, eh? The, mm-hmm. the natural man does not perceive the things of the Spirit. But to you and I, it's just a glorious thing to be, it's spiritual-minded, you know.
That's right.
You don't see it with natural eyes. You see it through the eyes of the Spirit. And things are happening in the Spirit realm that the natural man does not see. But we see things in the Spirit realm. They have transpired. We see those right down to the grace age. We see it by the eyes of the Spirit, how everything has happened exactly the way Jesus said in those seven parables of the seven church ages. And to me, it's such a simple process, but now here we're waiting. Today, it's supposed to be the end of that 1,260 days. And we know we're right. We, like I kept saying, you know, then you're going to see that those two prophets, those two witnesses being killed. Well, will it happen? Well, we haven't been killed yet. Today's that day. But it's the season is on for it to happen. Just like it was at that Yom Kippur, you know. It didn't happen that you saw that, you saw a long table with them signing a peace treaty with Israel, and you didn't see two prophets in sackcloth. But what it is, it's in the spirit realm. It's happening. There's two people over there. What they say is absolute, and they're not going to compromise. And they're now going to back down. And eventually, because they refuse to compromise, eventually it'll kill them. And we thought it's going to be today, but everything in God's time, it will happen.
Mm-hmm. Like it says, to keep your loins, that your loins be girded about and your lights burning. That's a continuous daily process where we need to walk in a way that our loins are girded about. And the lights burning, just like when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they were told to eat the Passover with their loins girded, their shoes on their feet, and a staff in their hand, and they shall eat it with haste. And it is the Lord's Passover. And they were like in anticipating, patient waiting for that Exodus.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many examples in the Bible where we need to be in a state of like watchfulness and still be prepared, like have our loins girded about and like our shoes on our feet and staff in our hand. It's like not literal, but we should be watchful.
Yeah, spiritually.
They're spiritually awake so that we can when that time comes, that we can go out and meet the Lord, just like when you will read over the parables of the virgins, the foolish and the wise. See, that brought in the Laodicea church age, and then the message came, and then they all fell asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And both the foolish and the wise, they fell asleep. And then at midnight there was a cry made,
mm-hmm.
and that was when that cry was made to wake up the whole world. That when Brother Brenham was here on the scene, that midnight cry came,
mm-hmm.
and he brought out a message to prepare a bride for the Lord Jesus Christ.
The coming of the Lord.
Yes, that was all a process of preparing yourself to meet that requirement. that is going to be required to go into that rapture. That's why they had oil, because they had prepared themselves. The foolish did not have that oil, so they wanted the wise to give them of their oil. But mm-hmm. they said, no, lest we'll have not enough of our own. Mm-hmm. Go and buy it from those that sell. Mm-hmm. Because up until now, that's where they had fellowshipped. Mm-hmm. So you go and buy it from them.
From the charismatics.
That's right, from the charismatic world. And when they had come, and the door was closed, because it was now too late to enter in. Like, it's not a literal door. It's just in the spirit world. That time of preparation has a period of time. And if you had not met that requirement for that period of time, that door is going to be closed to you. And that's why they came and the door was closed. And Jesus said, I don't know you. He didn't know them at that level. And that's why when we read here in Luke, to keep our loins girded about, and to be prepared, our lamps trimmed and burning. And like a lot of things transpire in the spirit world. And it takes a time for it to be seen in the natural.
To manifest itself.
Yes, it's always been like that. Because when you will read a lot of in the book of Revelation, things you would think are literal, but they are just describing an overall setting. Just like when you will read, the beast was wounded. Mm-hmm. Now, did you see a wound somewhere? No. It was just trying to tell. John was trying to tell us what he saw. There was a beast that was wounded, but it was really that Catholic head, that ecclesiastical head of that beast, that horn, that was wounded at the Reformation. Mm-hmm. So when you will take these things in the book of Revelation, and oftentimes they people take it literally, and it doesn't make sense. So there's a lot of things that have to be spiritually discerned. Now, if things don't happen just the way we think it should, that does not mean that we should just give up.
Well, the Bible is wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The Bible is always right. And I think that, like, we have nothing here in this world. Like, the Bible says, remember Lot's wife. She mm-hmm. looked back about her house and her trinkets and all that stuff. And here it tells us, remember that. Don't look back. Don't be sorry what you leave behind. Because we actually don't have nothing to leave mm-hmm. behind. There's nothing worth holding on to. Because we've untangled ourselves from the things of this world. We're just sold everything, as much stuff as we can, and retired just so we could do this for the Lord. And that's the only thing we can do, because that's our only job that we have. We got nothing else to do. So, like I said, don't look back. Don't have nothing in this world that will entangle you, that could cause you, when that time comes for that rapture, that you won't be able to go because you've entangled yourself with the things of this world. Mm-hmm. Like this farm that you bought, or this cow that's more important than actually going out to meet the Lord in the air. And these are the things that we're right now in that season that we can actually afford to take time out to warn people and to try our level best to be able to stay ahead of the fray, you know what I'm saying? And that's what we're doing, and we got nothing else to do. And God gives us His opportunity this time. We don't want to shirk it. We just don't want to waste it. But that's what we're about. We're in the season of rapture. Mm-hmm. And as soon as the sun crossed the northern hemisphere, something happened. And it'll all happen. We just have to trust the word on it.
Mm-hmm.
It might not happen the way we think it should, which I thought today we're going to see two prophets laying in the streets of Jerusalem. Maybe they are. Maybe in the spirit world they've determined now that they're going to get rid of these two people over there. Mm-hmm. These two that are standing for truth, that refuse to compromise, that refuse to back down. They're the ones that are saying they need to wipe out that old gaze, these old terrorists. Mm-hmm. Wipe them out completely. Don't feed them. Don't send any aid in there. Nothing whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Just get rid of them. And they're standing to their gun. They've been saying mm-hmm. that for the last 2 years, right. And they're still sticking with it.
Mm-hmm. And these things are not foreign. Like in the Bible, when you will read what God told Joshua to do with Jericho, to wipe everything out, even with the all the battles just about that Israel fought, God required them to wipe out everything, like even down to the cattle.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes they disobeyed, and they ended up having adversaries through that.
Throughout their life, they had these adversaries.
So these people, these that have settled there in Gaza, they have been basically persecuting Israel ever since they allowed them into that Gaza Strip.
That's their DNA. That's their makeup. Right.
So no matter, like, if you save the children, these children only grow up to have the same mm-hmm. hatred against the Jews and will continue doing the same thing. That's why God required them to wipe out the whole nation of whatever they were, were told to destroy. Like, God knew that in the end, you're not going to have anything, you're not going to have any results if you don't do that. So people don't realize, like it says in, I believe it's Exodus 14, that God is a God of war. People don't realize that of God. Mm-hmm. There are times where war has to be fought because there has to become a cleansing, like something it needs a fresh start. People get so used to that, to the same,
compromise.
Yeah, to the same old rhetoric. It's same old rhetoric. Nothing ever changes. They fight back and forth. Then there comes a time where something really drastic has to happen. And then it brings in a new phase, a new era. And it almost always has to be like that.
Yeah, it's just like it's coming over America now. You can't rejuvenate the Democrats. There's nothing you can do to change them. They have already determined that they're going to hate America.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to get rid of Trump for no reason at all. They're going to do whatever they can to terrorize Elon Musk, and that seeks nothing except for the best of America. And they've decided to hate it. And mm-hmm. now there's only one solution left, and that's civil war. And the day God said, "Let's go and do it," and you'll see it. George Washington Vision said there'll be more bloodshed than there were in the other two wars that America had. And that's just coming up their own. I can see it happening because there's so many Democrats that are on that, supporting the terrorists, mm-hmm. you know. How crazy can you get, bringing terrorists back into the country and have it go through the legal system when they're illegal immigrants, you know. And it's crazy down there what they're trying to implement. And there's only one solution. Just a civil war, just mm-hmm. like it was in the Second World War. There's only one solution. There was only one solution for those Jews that refused the fishers.
Mm-hmm.
They refused to give up their wealth, so they didn't go back to the homeland. And they were pleading and begging that Herschel, he pleaded and begged with them to leave Europe, even just maybe a few years before Hitler took over.
Mm-hmm.
He went around back again to Germany, leave. For your own sakes, it's lining up for slaughter.
Mm-hmm.
But no, they couldn't let go of their wealth and their homes and their businesses, and that's why they got killed in the Holocaust. It wasn't Hitler's fault, it was just God using Hitler for that purge, you know, and that end of that war, that Second World War. The Jews had only one thing to do, had only one ambition, to go back to the homeland.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was about. People want to go after Hitler. Well, he was just a tool in God's hand. And Hitler is Hitler, you know. That's what evil people do. God just found mm-hmm. a very evil man to do his bidding. And
mm-hmm.
people find it hard to believe, but either God is in charge or he is.
That's right. And you can take it back to the Babylon era, the Syrian era. These were all kingdoms that God allowed to rise up and to chasten his people, like the ten northern tribes. When they always lived in apostasy, and then the Assyrians came, took them out. Mm-hmm. And the same way with Judah. Like, God warned them through the prophets of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Amos and Hosea. They were constantly warning them what's gonna come. And the people didn't take heed. and they had to go into captivity. And it's no different than Holocaust.
Yeah, we're, like he told Jeremiah, I didn't find it, but I know I read it one time. Jeremiah was prophesying forever and a day, and then one day he went to the Lord. Lord, I've been prophesying here all these years, and nothing has happened. Where did this happen? Where did this happen? And he went to the Lord, and the Lord said, "You just keep saying what I put in your mouth. It will happen. Mm-hmm. It will happen in my own time. But in the meantime, you just keep prophesying. You just put it out there. That's the way it is today. You just keep telling people. But it will happen via the scripture. It says, heaven and earth will sooner pass away than one word will fail what's in the Bible. Mm-hmm. That's where we put our trust in. We put our trust in the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And you can take it to the bank.
And that's why we keep going over this. We know what the Lord's shown us. And we just have to hold on to that, because even though it may not seem like things are happening, just like Jeremiah said, but, we just have to stand by the things that the Lord showed us. We know when that grace age ended. We know when that Laodicea church age concluded. It had an end. It wouldn't go on and on and on. It has a beginning, 1906. It has an end, 2021. And it's just by that midnight period, there is a beginning, a midnight, and an end for the Laodicea church age. And we just take that Yom Kippur for that year of 2021, because that is the sixth feast that God is now dealing with, and it brought in the week of Daniel. And we just go by the Word, what is left in the Word to guide us in, because it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And if we use it, it can lighten our pathway to make us know the day and hour we're living in.
See, this is not our idea. This is not our talk. Mm-hmm. This is just find this, found that to be so in the scriptures. Like I said, from these seven stars, and then from these two Brother Branham and Brother Jackson, these church age messengers here in his end time, and we just continued on doing exactly what the Lord has allowed us to do, and what He's led us out to do, and what He's predestinated us to do. We can't do anything else. Mm-hmm. We put our own thoughts in this. We would run shipwreck.
That's
we're
right.
Just following the scripture, and somehow it'll happen. And right now, it doesn't look. It looks like a season of time, like I was telling you about an atomic explosion. When it comes to a certain point, there's a certain time when there's completely silence. Just nothing is moving, and then all of a sudden, that atomic explosion just erupts, and there's that. Yes, that fusion happens. And it's the same thing here. It's very quiet now. You don't really see nothing and hear nothing, but it will happen according to the scriptures. It says heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass. You can take that. That's what the Bible says. That's what God predestinated everything right back before the foundation of the world. And then He put it in His Word. The Bible was written before the foundation of the world. And now He just gave us the blueprint. And then He gave us the understanding to read it and to understand it. Like Daniel said, the wise shall understand. And we're in that season. We can't put it nowhere else. I've tried time and time and time again to put it somewhere else. And nothing would fit. The only place it fits. But still, we still have to wait. The proofs of the pudding. It'll have to happen, you know. We'll have to see two that we just read it today. We have to see these two witnesses in Jerusalem being killed. And then 3.5 days later, they get up and go off to heaven. We've got to see that with our own eyes through the television, through the internet. And it's going to happen. When? Well, I was hoping it'll happen today. But according to the... It didn't happen today. And we went back to see where we went wrong. We didn't go no wrong. We didn't go no wrong nowhere. Because it's all in the spirit. But I'm not too worried whether it'll happen or whether it won't happen. It's in the Word. We're not responsible for what's in the Bible. We're just responsible for reading it.
Yeah.
Trying to put it out there and explain it.
Because we're just go by what the Word of God said. Like I said, the midnight cry, And we know that there is 1 week left for the Jewish people, and that's 7 years. And then in the middle of the 7 years, that's when things start to change, and to the change of events is taking place in the middle of that week, because for times and times and a half a time is when that time of trouble is going to come about. And now it's turning into that time of trouble, and we have nothing else that we can go by in the Word of God that lays it out other than what we have found to be and what the Lord has shown us.
It has to go that way, because after 6 days, you know, after four, and after these 42 months, Jesus comes back, and then the 30 days, and then the 45 days, and then the millennium sets in. It has to run according to the scripture. You can't add nothing to that day, and you can't take nothing away. So here we are, we're just kind of like waiting for things to happen, and like I say, we have to have our limb burning. Don't get discouraged. Just, it's the same thing as it was back in the days of Noah. Noah, he was told to build an ark, and then the time came when he was told to go in there, and everybody around him was mocking him, and look at that fool, he's taking all these animals, and he's got no food, how's he gonna, he's abusing these animals, and then they saw the door shut, then they started grumbling about that, and then he was in there 7 days, nothing happened, and they started making fun of that, you know, he's in there, nothing is happening, until the first drop of rain, and then they started scratching on the door. It's the same thing today. We just know what we believe, just like Noah. He knew what he believed. He knew who told him to build that ark. And here, we know where we got these scriptures from. But we'll just keep hanging in there.
Yeah, we just have to stand on by the Word of God. Like it says, when you've done all you can, then you rest. And that's all we can do, is and rest in the Word.
And let the Lord take care of things. It's not our business, it's His business. We're just putting it out there. That's what He told us to do. Put this, Lincoln 14, have conversation once a week, and then we moved it here, and then He said, put a little bit of something out, a little shorter, just every day kind of thing. So somebody, people will have something to look at. There's nothing else in this world except His dear truth. Go out there and look at these YouTubers. They don't know whether they're coming or going, whether it's 7 years tribulation or 3.5 years tribulation, where the Bible completely says this 42 months. Completely, right to the day. 1,260 days for that, before that, and then 42 months for that beast system could continue as it was in the dark ages. It's happening in the spirit realm. There's a lot of things that's going on that we don't hear about, like there was another big earthquake, I think it was today or yesterday, over in over there, in Myanmar or close to China, and I don't know how many thousand people are dead, but it was a 7.7 earthquake. That's a pretty big earthquake. I saw that building just collapse, just went straight down. It's like these towers. Well, things are happening. There's wars and rumors of war. Earthquakes in diverse places. And we're in that hour. We're in that season, and it behooves everybody to get ready, you know. Yeah. Don't have things in this world. There's nothing in this world we're living for. It only keeps you empty, longing for more. Just give it up. That house that you have and everything. And you got to remember, we're coming back here in 3.5 years, you know. But it'll be without a devil, you know. I don't know what the mortals will do here. I really don't know how things will transpire. But I know one thing, whatever is over there is a lot better, 100 times better than what you have here. You got no, over there you got no sickness, you got no heartache, you got no problems or nothing. Everything is in harmony. It's a dimension where there's pure and holy love, you know. There's just, people care for each other over there. Here it's all jealousy and fighting, and you can hardly define anybody that'll agree with you.
Yeah.
Over there it's complete, it's a different world.
There's
no devil there.
It's impossible, actually, nowadays to find somebody that'll agree with you.
Just the grace of God that they give us each other to hang out with, because you won't find nobody else.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. If it's somebody else, then you think he plays along for a while, then you find out he stabs you in the back as soon as he gets a little bit of footing.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really trust him. But with you and I, it's solid. We got each other's back. We see the same thing. We're on the same page by two or three witnesses, because I think today Jesus and God is one. It's like, mm-hmm. like they're not one. They're not in one body or whatever. They're just agreeing one. And that's the way it is with you and me. Mm-hmm. You and me are one. We're not one in the... I'm male, you're female, but we're one in mind. We're one in thinking. We're one in and substance. We're one in everything we say and do. We're in agreement with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it means when it says, Jesus, me and my Father are one, you know? It's not mean that they're... that Jesus is God and God is Jesus. Just that they agree. They're in total agreement.
Mm-hmm. And even like after the millennium, it says that God will be our all in all. It's just everything is now in harmony with this God, with our Creator, with our Heavenly Father. Like Jesus said, that they may be one as we are one.
Uh-huh.
And he's bringing everything to that point where all is one with God again. Mm-hmm. And all of creation is in harmony and in sync with God. And that's why after the millennium, he can come and tabernacle with man once again. Because everything has been conquered. Everything has been brought into harmony with God, and then He is our Heavenly Father. He's one with all of creation. He becomes one with. That means completely free of sin and everything, clear of all the devil and everything, and He is one with all of creation.
That's all we ever wanted in life.
That's right.
That's an invention. I kept reading it as a kid. I was reading the Bible and I didn't understand it, but there was something in there that excited me, that got me to read it over and over and over again. Even before I was saved, I would read the Bible, and then once I was saved, I couldn't stop reading the Bible, because I found some things in there that I didn't even know, like Proverbs and the Song of Solomon, a lot of things they were like poetry to me, and I couldn't stop reading it, and I found one day, and they're hidden treasures in the Bible. And here, by God's grace, we just by being taught from that apostolic and the prophetic ministry, we happened to find out all these mysteries that were hidden in the Bible. And we're just now, just like it says, when you've done everything you can, just stand. Stand on the things that you've been taught. Stand on the things that you believe in. And just wait until the Lord moves or shows us what to
do
or what not to do. And he gets us up in the morning. I don't get up on myself. The Lord just woke me up here a couple of years back to get up and have an hour before and 5:30 and pray, you know, for half an hour and then sing some songs. I didn't decide to do that because I like sleeping in. I used to like, but I can't sleep in anymore. I got to be up because I can't wait. I can't wait for the day. I can't wait for the Lord to show me something. Someday He shows up, and someday He just expects you to just stand on the things that I have showed you. Like God taught me to pray for this one guy yesterday and today again, and it must be very detrimental to the Lord. And I pray for him because he's a key link in what the Lord is doing. So that's all I live for, you know. When the Lord comes down, shows you to pray for, and what to say and what not to say, that's all we're about, you know. We're not... My yoke is easy, my burden is light. It's not that hard. Once you get used to getting up in the morning, you can't sleep in. You long to get up, you know. You can't wait. Sometimes I lay awake waiting to get up, you know. Wait until 5:30. And then just go out and do whatever you need to do. And it's a good journey. It's a good life living for the Lord. And we're just moving on. Today we want to make sure we get this. We're speaking to ourselves. We're really not speaking to the multitudes out there. We're speaking to ourselves because we're the ones that have to have our lamp burning. We're the ones that have to keep our life alive and shape in order and everything that the Lord requires of us. Now, sure, it's required of other people too, but we're not demanding it from other people. It's how the Lord will lead you and guide you. But, I'll have to say this to each and everybody. There's nothing in the world to look back to. Like it said, remember Lot's wife. And when the time will come, don't allow yourself to be looking back to your house or to your whatever there is that entangles you to the things of this world. They're not worth nothing. They're useless. They're going up in smoke. At the end of the day, the only thing that'll stand there is the Word of God. That's very much that's our only mission, you know. Mm-hmm. Tell people and tell ourselves more than anybody. But it's a good journey. I got no. I'm not sorry for that. The Lord put me on the journey. Mm-hmm. I'm so thankful. There's times I can't express my gratitude enough because there is no way to express your gratitude. The only true way to express your gratitude is say, Lord, here I am. Use me for your glory. That's the only way you can really say thank you, mm-hmm. is to give your life to the Lord. And like words fail me. You try to express yourself. You know, you just end up weeping. Mm-hmm. Because there is no way to express yourself is your gratitude. I mean, like I say, the only way I found that out many years ago, really, if you really want to be grateful to what the Lord has done for me when He saved me, is just have Him use you for His glory. Mm-hmm. Lord, here I am. At your disposal. Do whatever you want with me. And it's worked out for me. And if there's joy in speaking, it's full of glory. You know, there's no greater pleasure, like Jesus said, to do thy will, O Father, I do it gladly. That's the only thing that excited him, to do his Father's will, to go up to the pool of Bethesda, to go over to Samaria to that woman at the well there, mm-hmm. things of that nature. And then he eventually had to go up to Calvary. And he did it gladly, mm-hmm. he did it voluntarily. He just offered himself to his Father. And that's where you and I are, right? We're just doing this, we're doing it gladly, and there's nothing else we would rather do. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for just another day of life, for the many things that you do for us. We just pray, Lord, you continue to do with us as you see fit. Use us for your honor, for your glory. In these closing days of time, help us to keep our lamp burning and help us to be ready when that time comes for us to exit out of here, Lord. We just ask you to give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.